Good morning, We Talk Radio. Let's get ready for some dynamic word on today. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. Happy Resurrection Sunday on today. Y'all know what today is. What does this day represent on today? We know that our Lord, our Savior, Hosanna, our Holy King, He got up. He defeated death. Death no longer has its sting because of the risen Holy King. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn of this wonderful, dynamic, wonderful church called Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And we want to welcome you to come continue to grow in the soil with us. That's right, soil, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. We want to inspire the love of God in your life. I am super excited about today. I am super excited about everything that God is doing on today. Because again, more than 2,000 years ago, our Holy King, He got up from the grave. And death no longer has its sting. It is a wonderful day. It is a wonderful day to be alive. It is a wonderful day to be living on today. This is what I want us to understand. But before we talk about today, let's connect last week. As we talked about the significance of last week, Palm Sunday. Remember the palms. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus went and He fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, which said that the king would be riding into the holy city on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus told two of His disciples to go and find a colt tied and bring it to me and let's fulfill this prophecy. The colt was in position. The donkey was in position. It had been untouched and it was ready to serve and it was ready to fulfill its purpose. And everybody was around. They saw Jesus coming into this place. Hosanna, Hosanna. In comes the Holy King. The Messiah is here. We are rescued. This is the Moses of our generation. We're getting ready to go to the next level. We've been in shackles. Now we've been set free. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. We love Him. We love Him. We love Him. Let's throw out our palm branches. Let's put it down before the King. But what a difference a week makes. Let me stand corrected. What a difference less than a week makes. Because less than a week after this historical, dynamic, spiritually connected moment in life, a few days later, things begin to change. What a difference a week makes. We can all in our lives attest to how fast life can change in an instant. One day we were able to go to the airports and see our people that were going out of town and you didn't have to be going out of town. You didn't have to go through all the processes just to be at the airport. You could see somebody, you know, as they get onto the runway, you can wave and see them until they fly off. And then in an instant, 9/11 happened. What a difference a week can make. How many of our lives have changed, even going back to 2019 when we lived life a certain way. And then as this germ called COVID-19 began to hit, what an instance life can change. You are driving down the highway of life and you hit a pothole unexpected and things can happen and damages can happen and your entire life can change from a 2.5-foot pothole. Life can instantly change. Life can instantly change because things can be one way today and drastically change tomorrow. And less than a week, the people of Jerusalem were cheering, Hosanna, Hosanna, He's our Holy King. And then the tone begins to change. Because when the devil gets involved in a situation, light can begin to dim. Sweet songs can begin to sound like clinging cymbals. Smiles can begin to recede when the devil gets involved. When the devil gets involved, laughter can turn into sorrow. When the devil gets involved, happiness can turn into despair. When the devil gets involved, everything going positive can instantly start going negative. When the devil gets involved, we can have a Job moment in our lives. Hosanna, Hosanna. begin to change. The tone begin to change. The mindset begin to change. And there's literally a transforming of thought, opinion, and relevance that begins to happen. And this is what our Lord and Savior had to encounter. In less than a week, they were loving him today. But when tomorrow shows up, when the devil gets involved, the ideas, the belief system, everything that he had done, everything that Jesus had stood for, when the devil gets involved, it began to change. Crucify him. Crucify him is what the crowd began to sing. He's not the Holy King. He's the King of the Jews. We went from him fulfilling a prophecy to now being the biggest fraud in the history of mankind when the devil gets involved. How many of you athletes and professional sports, people that love to watch professional sports can see the home team? And when the home team doesn't fulfill the expectations, when the home team doesn't do as good as what we think it should does, when the home team begins to lay out a failure and drop a goose egg, the cheering that happened in the first quarter can turn into boos in the fourth quarter. This is where Jesus was in his life. At age 33, at this moment in time, he was in 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter of his life. Quarters 1 through 3, he's Jesus, he's Jesus, he's Jesus. When we needed him. He's Jesus when he's doing what we want him to do. He's Jesus when everything is going good. He's Jesus when we run out of water and he turns it into wine. He's Jesus and we love him. But the enemy is very crafty. And turning what should be into what shouldn't have been, because this is what he did to Eve. He's the master illusionist. He's the great deceiver, the Bible calls him. Adam and Eve had strict instructions not to eat of the fruit of one particular tree. And out of everything that they had access to in the Garden of Eden, he made her see that tree was the only lifeline between her and God. And oh my God, you need to have this and you need to have it now. When the devil gets involved, that's when things begin to change. Your servant Job only wants you because you're doing everything for him, God. He has everything that he needs. He's got everything that any man could ever want. This is why he's serving you. Take these things away from him and see if he still serves you when the devil gets involved. He's the great accuser. When the devil gets involved, he wants to throw faults at everything that you do. When the devil gets involved, Hosanna, Hosanna can turn to crucify, crucify him. As I said before, I'm going to say it again. This is what Jesus had to encounter. Crucify him. Crucify him. Imagine what's going through the mind of Jesus. Maybe the man, the paralytic, maybe the man that had leprosy, maybe the woman with the issue of blood, maybe everybody that he had life-lasting impact on were in that crowd saying, crucify him. I got what I need. Crucify him. Yeah, I appreciated that yesterday. I'm good right now. Crucify him. This is what happens when the devil gets involved. Makes you forget about who's in your corner and devalue what people have done for you. This is what happens. And this is what happened to Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, if it happened to Jesus, hello, it can and it will happen to you. But how is one to process when people said they love you and then turn their back on you as if they never knew you? How is one to process when you've given all that you've got just to be taken for granted, underappreciated, and in some cases even betrayed? I can sometimes myself find it hard to understand these things. How could that person in an instant just change on me? How could they change their tune? How could the beat of the cadence all of a sudden change after everything that we've done? All that we've been through, all the blood, the sweat, the tears, and everything that we've done to, we've been in the trenches together. But when the devil gets involved, none of that matters. Crucify him. Crucify him. That's what happens when the devil gets involved. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did 2 years ago. It doesn't matter that you were there for that person when they needed you to be there. But in an instant, everything that was done can be undervalued and underappreciated. This is what happens when the devil gets involved. What I want us to understand is I know, ladies and gentlemen, that we can all feel this way sometimes. I'm not the only one. We all go through this. How is one to process when there is an instant change in the way that people feel about you? Now, you cannot do anything about the way people treat you. You cannot do anything about the way they think about you. You cannot do anything about the way that today they love you, tomorrow they can't stand you. All you have to do is stand and trust that he is God. It's not easy when love is invested in a situation that goes south. It's not easy when you've put a lot of invested time and effort into something and someone turns on you. I want to understand, what does it feel like for Jesus to have done everything that he's done for people and then hear him say, crucify him, crucify him. But another thing that I try to do is make sure I'm not that person that does the changing and starts throwing the darts at those people. Trying to understand why people can denounce you and take you for granted is something that we can all struggle with. And all of us can feel this way sometimes. This is not going to be your typical Easter message. I want to deal with the reality and what we experience every single day because this impacts us today. It can impact us tomorrow. It can impact us next week. But Jesus left a legacy for us to follow. And understanding this, ladies and gentlemen, can help us understand, as you see, we've got a scripture here that's coming up in Hebrews 12 and 3, and it comes from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, for us to consider him, who's him? Jesus Christ, the one that we're celebrating today, because he got up from the grave. But before he got up from the grave, there were some things that Jesus had to encounter. There was some hurt and some pain that Jesus had to encounter. And the writers of Hebrews wants us to remember to consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Jesus came to take away sin. And now Jesus is being attached to sin. Jesus came to take away sin. Defeat sin, put sin in its place. And now he's being attached to sin. We need to consider Jesus when we're going through these things. Whenever we feel hurt, pain, betrayal, ashamed, I want us to just take a moment to consider what Jesus went through. He did no wrong. He told no lies. He didn't backstab anyone. He didn't go behind. He didn't blackmail. He didn't cheat. He didn't scandal. He didn't do any of these things. But it all got attached to him. And in the eyes of the people, he was no better than Barabbas, the robber that they decided to let go and bring Jesus in exchange. Consider him and everything that he went through. What I want us to understand something is Jesus did not have to do this. You got to understand the kind of king that we serve, the kind of Lord that we serve, that would come down from glory, sitting at the right hand of the Father to humble himself down to a level to be associated with one of the worst robbers in the generation, at the generational time in that city. This is how they looked at our Lord. This is how they looked at our Savior. Regardless to everything he did, he was now placed on the same level of one of the worst thieves, one of the worst criminals, one of the worst of that time. Crucify him, crucify him. But what about that time he crucify him, crucify him. But remember when he hit crucify him, crucify him. Remember he walked up, crucify him, crucify. Remember that guy last week, crucify him, crucify him. The party was running out of water. He turned, crucify him. Because when the devil gets involved, he wants to change the focus and twist the truth. They begin to believe the lies. They begin to believe the things that were untrue. They begin to believe that Jesus was no better. They begin to believe in those things that did not have anything to do with him. Because this is what happens when the devil gets involved. This is why we have to recognize the source when things happen in life. Because the enemy will twist and tort your mind and make you think something that you didn't think yourself, make you believe something that has no truth in behind it, will make you believe a fabricated lie. And that lie will now become your truth. This is what he does. And this is what happens when the devil gets involved. The level of humility that it took for Jesus to submit to all of this accusation. The level of humility that it took for our Lord and Savior to say, okay, I am going to accept this. Because the humility that Jesus had to use to come down through the birth canal from mankind's way of walking onto this earth says how much he loves you and I. This is like the manufacture of a product now becoming the product that he made. What do I mean by that? In Genesis, God says, let us make man in our image. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the Son. He's talking to the Holy Spirit. And together, remember, as we said a while back now, God gave us his spirit. Jesus gave us his life, okay? The Holy Spirit gave us his spirit, okay? Jesus was a part of the manufacturing process of mankind, and now he has humbled himself to now become what he created. What kind of humility is this? What kind of humility does our Lord and Savior have? What kind of humility that he would come and give up his life just to give you, just to give me, just to give all of us a chance? Regardless of the choices that we make, he loves us through them. Regardless of the times that we deny him, he loves us through them. Regardless to everything we do that we denounce, that we don't do, that we should do, he still loves us through us. That is a representation of his humility. He washed 24 dusty feet just a few days before. And two of those feet had evil all in between its toes. As he got down and ungirded himself and got down and brought in the basin of salvation and washed the feet of every disciple that had followed him for 3 years. That was representation of, I don't care how dirty you are, I will go down to the lowest of lows and I will wash everything off of you. Even if I know you're going to betray me, Judas, bring me your feet. And I'm going to wash your dirt off anyway. I know you're going to backstab me. I know you're going to sell me out. I know you're going to come and you're going to kiss me on the cheek as though we're friends. And you're going to turn me in and have me handcuffed. Bring me your feet on today anyway. That's the humility of the Lord and Savior that we have. Jesus had feelings just like us. We don't talk oftentimes about the human side of Jesus, but again, if we're going to associate his humility, how much he humbled himself to come down to give us a chance, let's talk just for a little bit about the human side of Jesus. He had feelings. How do we know it? Jesus laughed. He cracked jokes. He high-fived. He lounged. He hung out with folk just like you. Just like me. And we also know that as we get into reading in the book of John, one of the shortest scriptures, or the actual shortest scripture in all 66 books of the Bible, says Jesus wept. because we don't talk about the human side of Jesus. We don't relate to what Jesus went through. We don't relate to how he feels. We don't relate to how he felt. We don't relate to what it must have felt like to have been betrayed. Well, let's just talk about something. When you've got friends that are extremely close to you, take Mary and Martha and a good friend of Jesus by the name of Lazarus. Lazarus had died. Jesus was out serving, doing the work of the Father that sent him to do. But because Mary thought she deserved first class visitation rights from Jesus, because Martha thought that Jesus would be right there by the side when he didn't show up, when they thought he should showed up. What happened? Jesus wept. He looked at their countenance. He looked at their disbelief. He looked at the fact that they had given up. And even though he didn't show up when they thought he should, he would have thought of all people, those that were closest to him, would have known that he was going to show up when the time was right. It hurt his feelings. He wept. They just didn't understand. They just didn't get it. He's trying to be over here, and he knows that he's here on a short timeline, and he's trying to serve, to inspire, to encourage, to lay hands, to go through everything that he went through, but just because he did not arrive when they thought he should. Jesus, where were you when we needed you? Jesus, you should have been here a long time ago. Other people were more important. Jesus, we thought we were cool with you. You've eaten at my house. I've made a nice bed for you to lay in. How could you take your time and drag your feet? They just didn't get it. They just didn't understand. And Jesus couldn't help them see it right then and then. And all he had to do was he just wept. He was going to do it anyway. He was going to bring Lazarus back to death, but because he was challenged in face with their disbelief, those that looked him right in the supernatural eyes of his and said, "We don't believe you. We've given up on you. We lost all hope in you." Jesus wept the human side of Jesus. This is what I want us to understand. Do we ever take time to stop to consider what somebody else may be going through? What challenges they may have had to go through just to get back to us. They got back to us as quickly as they could. Okay, they're being used and over here and over there and everything else, but because they don't show up when we want them to show up, do we give up on them? Do we say, "Crucify him, crucify him"? Let's consider what someone else may be going through. And this is what Hebrews wants us to understand. Try to understand life through someone else's lens. Try to understand what it's like to walk a mile in someone else's shoes. Try to understand things the way that they understand. Consider him when we're going through our trials and tribulations. Again, we don't talk a whole lot about the human side of Jesus, but this is one of the most critical reasons that he had the supernatural impact that he had to connect us, me, you, everybody else, to connect us to the Father. He had to come down and meet us where we are. That's why at Soil Church, we say the Word of God, it speaks to us, it lives through us, and it what? It meets us where we are, because Jesus meets us where we are. Jesus will follow us wherever we are. Jesus is the shepherd that I shall not want. And wherever I am, I know about his rod. I know about his staff, and he's going to be with me every day. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear." Why? Because Jesus is right by my side. And he meets us wherever we are. This is what I want us to understand. He had to take on, ladies and gentlemen, the earthly experience in order for us to connect with the Father. That's what his assignment was all about. That's the level of humility that he showed all of us, because he had to feel the pains that we feel. He had to deal with life in the way that it presents itself to us, just where we are on our human level. And as you see our slide up here on this morning here, I don't have a lot of slides, but I've got a potent slide. This is what I want us to understand. Jesus was so full of humility, the devil actually thought he had a chance to make him worship him. The devil thought, "Oh, I got him now. The devil thought, here is the moment that I've got to act. Let me go in for the kill shot. I believe I got Jesus right where I want him. This is what I want us to understand. This is the level of humility Jesus had. Jesus was so humble, the devil actually thought he had a chance. How humble was Jesus? How much humility did Jesus have? The devil thought that he could do everything he could to get everybody else to turn. He got Eve to turn. He tried to persuade Job to curse God and die, remember? Maybe, just maybe, here is my chance to get Jesus to turn. But what I want us to understand here, Jesus already knew that the devil was defeated. But he humbled himself so much to where it made the devil think that he had a chance. This is what I want us to understand. There was still a line drawn in the sand. There was still a line drawn in the sand, because even when the devil said, can I take your servant Job out? God said, don't kill him. This is what God is saying to us, ladies and gentlemen. Devil, you can do everything you want to do, but I'm drawing a line in the sand. I don't care how tough it is in your life right now. Know that God has drawn a line in the sand. You're going through your wilderness right now. You're at your weakest moment right now. The devil has done everything he could, but know that there's a line in the sand, and God says, this is how far you go. The humility of Jesus puts me in mind of a show that a lot of us like to watch called Undercover Boss. And if you know anything about Undercover Boss, these are executives, these are CEOs, these are founders of companies. This is why I am so intrigued and I love the show, because what they do, how about this, is they go through the birth canal of their workers and they go out in the field and they'll do the dirty jobs. They'll do the everyday jobs to align themselves with those that are working for them so they can walk a mile in their shoes. So they can make sure that they're connected, because sometimes at the corporate level, we're not always connected to the field level. So the beauty in behind Undercover Boss is he'll go in, okay, put on a earthly suit, right? They will go in and they will disguise themselves. And people don't know that they're the Holy King. I'm sorry, people don't know that they're the CEO, right? And they'll go in and they'll take on those jobs incognito, not letting people know who they are, so they can get out there and relate to those workers. They'll relate to those workers. They'll get out into the trenches. They'll go behind. They'll go beneath. They'll clean the toilets. They'll rewire the electrical work. They'll do everything they need to. I saw one where restoration work was done and all kinds of things had to be cleaned out of these houses. They get out there and they align themselves with this. You know that Jesus is like the undercover boss for all of us. He put on an earthly suit here to align himself with us, to walk this work. Because remember in the word it said, the word became flesh and dwelt. That means he did things. He walked, he talked, he ate. He did everything that we do to be able to live and to dwell among us. Jesus was undercover boss and he lived and met with us where we are. But if you know about Undercover Boss, after a while they key on a few people here. And after they've seen everything that those people go through, there is a reward at the end of the show. So they'll go back and they will say, I am the Christ. I'm sorry, I am the CEO. I am the person that's leading this company. And because I saw the work that you've done, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Here is a pot of money for you. Here is a scholarship for you. Here is the next level for you. I know what it really is that it is, because I came and I met you where you are, and now I'm going to take you to the next level in our company. Jesus is like the undercover boss for all of us. And when we understand who he is to us in our life, one of these days we're going to sit before him just like they do on the undercover boss. And he's going to reveal himself just like he does on the undercover boss. And he's going to let us know, I am the Son. I am the Father. I am the King of all kings. And because I saw the work that you've done, I was out there with you. I was in the trenches with you. I am here to let you know, because I've seen everything that you've gone through. I saw the hard work that you put in. I saw the things that you've done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Here is your reward. The humility of Jesus allowed him to align with us to take us to the next level in our lives. But there is something that had to happen before we could get to that level. There was a significant form of work that had to be done. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second. Because through all the ups and downs that Jesus experienced, he didn't let those pains get the best of him. This is why he tells us in John 16 and 33, coming from the New International Translation, right? In this world, ladies and gentlemen, you will have trouble. Hello, trouble is a part of your schedule. Trouble is a part of your life. Trouble is supposed to meet you. Trouble is supposed to happen. But Jesus said, don't you know there's always a but? You're going through the trouble today, but there is a but. Somebody need to put in the chat right there. There is always a but. Yes, you were going to the right, but you got diverted to the left. You were going down, but you got exhaled to the up, right? You were going down and now you're moving up in your life and everything that you do, because there's always a but. He says right now, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Take heart. That means stand strong. That means don't give up. Take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. He's prophesying. He's letting the disciples know that it's already done. It's tough right now, but it's already done. Things are going south right now, but it's already done. It's already defeated. He was telling them that it's already done. He was trying to get them to see past their pains and their struggles. Whatever it is that you're going through in your life right now, know that it's already done. That same message, it meets us where we are in our life today. He wants us to see past the pains that we're going through, ladies and gentlemen. He wants us to have enough faith that if we just stay in the fight, if we just take heart, if we just don't give up. I know it hurts right now. I know it caught you off guard right now. I know a pothole situation happened for you in your life, and now you got some front end damage. Now you got some things that are going on, but I encourage you to take heart on today, because he has overcome the world. It's just like the old folk used to say back in the day, troubles don't last always. That means there will not always be trouble. Troubles won't continue to maintain. Troubles won't continue to have speed. Troubles won't continue to be able to have their pace in your life. At some point, there's going to come an end point of your troubles. Can I get somebody out there to agree with me on this morning here that I just want you to know that troubles don't last always? Can somebody understand with me on today? It's going crazy right now, but we've got a light at the end of the tunnel. Don't you understand why we're celebrating today right now? Because troubles don't last always. The troubles of Jesus didn't last always, okay? The troubles of Job didn't last always, okay? The troubles of Paul didn't last always, okay? The troubles of all the disciples that they just didn't last always. There is an expiration date for your trial. Put that in a chat that's fresh from the Holy Spirit. But there is an expiration date for your trial. That trial that you're going through right now, it's going to expire on a particular day. Why don't you pick up that gallon of milk and look at the expiration date on there? And when you see it, think about your trial. Think about the expiration date on that bread. Okay, this is why Jesus said, okay, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Because when you see him, there are no more expiration dates. Your trials have an expiration date. You need to give your neighbor a high five, slap him up on the shoulder or something like that. Give your neighbor a digital nudge or something, because your trials have an expiration date. Jesus's trial had an expiration date. And therefore we celebrate that expiration date on today. How about that, fresh from the Holy Spirit on this morning? I know it doesn't feel good right now. Whatever you're going through, it's tough. It hurts. You're crying. Today just don't seem the same. And food may not taste the same. And music may not sound the same. And whatever it is that you're going through, I want to encourage you. I want to speak into your heart on this morning. This too shall pass. Can you just align with me on this morning? This too shall pass. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. This too shall pass. There is somebody right now that is going through something. And you need to know that your troubles and your trials have an expiration date. Your troubles will not continue on. You will not continue to feel like this much longer. One of these days, you are going to know that weeping may last, okay, overnight, but there will be joy in the morning. Troubles don't last always. He overcame your troubles. He overcame your pain. He overcame your sickness. He overcame your shame. Troubles don't last always. Your trials will have an expiration date. I know it don't feel good right now. But know that Jesus has overcome this world. Jesus knows what it's like to go through a trial. He knows what it's like to be falsely accused. He knows what it's like to be talked about, mistreated, abused, spat on, any and everything that you can imagine. It happened to him, and he did no wrong. Jesus knew what he was getting ready to experience. As I get ready to close, and after the Last Supper took place and he washed the feet of the disciples, he went out into the Garden of Gethsemane and he was with some of the disciples. And then he just kind of pulled himself away and he let them continue to mingle and talk and try to figure out what's getting ready to go on. And Jesus went and he kneeled down and he got on this rock. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He looked up at the Father. And he said he didn't want to go through it. He had a bitter cup thought about this situation. He said, Father, remove this bitter cup from my life. I can't go through it. I don't like the taste of this bitter cup. If you can just move this moment, take it away from me, Father. It's just too bitter. And I no longer want to sip this situation. Father, remove it. Take it away. I can't do it. It's gotten the best of me. It hurts. It's painful. I just don't think I can move on. We don't talk about the human side of Jesus. The Bible records that he had sweat drops like blood coming from his face. This was a moment where we saw the vulnerability of Jesus and humankind. He didn't want to go through this. But he knew that he had to because he had cancer on his mind. He had AIDS on his mind. He had COVID-19 on his mind. He had the pain that you're going to experience in your life on his mind. He didn't want to do it. But ladies and gentlemen, he knew it had to do it. This is how much the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, loves you. He continued to sip of the bitterness of the cup. And after Jesus did all he could, God sent down an archangel to inspire him. That's right. Jesus got ministered to encourage him. That's right. Jesus had to get talked back to help lift him up. And that's right. Jesus had to get talked back. And I think about sometimes I'm going to go secular for a moment. I'm going to go to Hulk Hogan, right? When Hulk Hogan used to fight and get beat down and everything else. And all of a sudden he would hear the cheers, right, from the crowd. And all of a sudden Hulk Hogan would get this energy, right? And he would get up and every time he'd get punched, he would shake it off. Every time he'd get thrown down, he'd get up and he'd shake it off. Every time that something would happen to him, he'd get up again and he'd shake it off. And every time he'd shake it off, he'd get more energy and he'd get more energy. And I can just see Jesus after the archangel uplifted him, encouraged him, inspired him. He says, all right, let's get it on. Then he goes and he says, bring it on, Judas. I know you came. I know you come do what you've got to do. Let's get this on. Yeah, let's go through this trial. Let's make this thing happen. I know I'm about to get beat. I know my blood is about to shed. I know I'm about to get accused. I know I'm about to carry this rugged cross, but I've gotten my strength. That's right. I've gotten my momentum. That's right. I've gotten talked back. I had a weak moment, but I know what's getting ready to happen right now because I am seeing that I have already overcome this. Go ahead on and beat me. That's right. Go ahead on and knock me upside my head. Go ahead on and talk about me. That's right. Go ahead on and tear my flesh apart because I have already overcome this world. I have already defeated this situation. I have already gotten up from the grave. I have already overcome everything in here. Do what you got to do to me because I know that I am the Alpha. I know that I am the Omega. And oh, and by the way, 3 days later, I'm going to have a resurrection that's going to knock your socks off. That's going to keep them talking. That 2,000 years later is going to keep everybody motivated. I am going to go and I am going to prepare a place. Oh, and by the way, robbers on the side of me, join me today because you will join me in paradise. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus got up from the grave. He endured what he endured, ladies and gentlemen. And he said one final thing before it all happened. He said, "It is finished." He said, as you can see up on the slide right now, "It is finished." Everything that you go through in your life, I want you to know that it is defeated. When Jesus said the famous words on the cross, matter of fact, the absolute last words in human form recorded in the Holy Bible, "It is finished." Whatever you're going through in your life right now, somebody out there needs to know and understand, it is finished. It don't look like it, but it is finished. Finished. They tried to kill him before he got to the cross, but Jesus said, I have to give my spirit up. It is finished. And when he knew, he saw everything that happened. He said, "Father, go ahead and forgive them. They don't understand this. I know they don't get it. I know it's tough. I know they don't all understand it. Have a heart for them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And once he did that, even serving on the cross, "Remember me. Remember me, Jesus. I remember you. And today you shall be with me in paradise." Why? Because it is finished. My arms are getting tired just being up this long. Imagine how long Jesus' arms stretched out. Why? They hung his head. They stretched him wide. For you and for me and for everybody in this world, he died. That's love. Ladies and gentlemen, that's love. Love hurts. Love is painful. Love is uncomfortable sometimes, but love is dedication. They hung his head. They stretched him wide. They pierced him in his side. For you and me, he died. That's love. If you ever let anybody try to talk you out of how much Jesus loves you, consider him and everything that he went through. And it will help you understand exactly how much he loves you. I want to thank you for tuning in on this Resurrection Sunday with us on this morning. But before we go, I've got something I want to ask you. Do you know he loves you on today? If he came right now in the twinkling of an eye, are you going back with him? Or are you going to get caught up in the air with him? When the rapture comes, can you definitively say you're going to go back with Jesus? Because as much as he loves you, he's given you a choice to accept him. He told Thomas, "You believe me because you see me. But blessed are those that believe that do not see." Can you believe him on today? Can you accept him on today? I'm here to tell you how much Jesus loves you. And he's asking to be the head of your life, whoever you are right now. This ain't about no chocolate covered eggs, no Easter bunnies, no None of that stuff. This is not about that. This is about you standing before him one day. One day. You're going to have that moment where you're going to sit down with the undercover boss. And you're going to give an account for the work that you've done. What is he going to say to you? Because it's going to be one of two things. Either well done, thy good and faithful servant, or depart from me. I never knew you. What do you want him to say to you during that moment? If you cannot say, he will say, well done, right now, this very moment, whoever you are, I want you to say something with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying. Thank you for resurrecting, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I've strayed away. Bring me back to you, Father God. I give you my life. I give you my all. Use me for your purpose and use me for your glory. Thank you for doing it for me, Lord. Thank you for coming up from the grave for me, Lord. Thank you for just coming down because you had me in my life on your mind and in your heart. Save me, Lord. I'm yours. Mold me, Lord. I'm yours. Use me, Lord. I'm yours. And I thank you, Lord, for making me yours. If you said that prayer and you believe that Jesus rose on the third day, today is your resurrection day on today. And I want to thank you for giving your life to Christ. It's that simple. You didn't need a big drastic situation. You didn't need to get up and run 10 laps around the church. You didn't need none of that. He said, confess and believe. And if you have done that today, you can go with him in paradise and you will in fact see him again. All right. Today, what is today? April 17th, 2022. You gave your life to Christ. This is a significant day for you, but you need a coach. You need some inspiration. You're going to have some troubles. You're going to have some things. Shoot me a note. As you can see right there, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. May 1st, May 2nd. What is it? Okay. That first Sunday in May, you're going to have a chance to officially become a member of our church. We're going to have a Zoom meeting for everybody that wants to be a part of our church. We got some things we want to talk to you about. I'm going to send out some information here. It is time. It is time for Soil Church to go to the next level. I'm looking for a strong, dedicated team that's ready to take this word forth, that's ready to build the community that we're in, that's ready to talk about the next level and getting ourselves ready for the next level of what God needs for us. I'm looking for a strong team. I don't care if it's 3 people. I don't care if it's 5. I don't care if it's 20. I don't care about that. We have to build around this team. Why? Because Jesus chose 12 and he built his entire empire, his ministry around a dedicated group. And if it's good enough for Jesus, it's going to be good enough for Soil Church. Upon this rock, God will build his church. You know our thing for this year. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Why? Because it is finished. That's why hell will not prevail. It is finished. And I'm saying that in a rhythmic pattern because whatever you're going through tomorrow, next week, next month, I want you to remember it is finished. I want you to keep that in your mind. It is finished. Say it all day long. It is finished. Just remember whatever it is that you're going through. It is finished. All right. So right now is a time that we love. Okay, this is given time. You know this word was a blessing to you. You know God has spoken to you in your spirit. You know God has gone in and shaken the foundation of your life. Now you have an opportunity to tell God thank you. Just say, Lord, thank you for that word. Thank you for using Pastor Glenn to speak to me in my spirit. I needed this. I feel good. Lord, thank you for just inspiring me, for encouraging me. Listen here, 2 Corinthians 2:19 says, this service, you have an opportunity to be a part of service. This service, this is where we are right now. This service, you can do this much, right? You can do this much. This service that you perform is not only supplying supplying, okay? Supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Tell God, thank you for this word. Tell him thank you for this word. And I'm telling you right now, you sow seeds in this ministry. Things happen to you in this life, in this world, because this is good ground. You are sowing on good ground. I'm telling you, you are sowing on good ground. My wife and I just even yesterday received some wonderful news about just from the tithes and the offerings that we sow into this ministry. God is doing some amazing. I have seen God in the past 30 days do some amazing things. I have seen him make ways out of no way. I mean, just he's had rams in the bush like I have never seen in my life before. I have never seen things happen like this before. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard of the wonderful things, the wonderful things, the wonderful things that God has for those who love him. Let's pray over your offering right now. Lord, we thank you for your offering. Thank you for every seed that's going to meet every need as we continue to grow this ministry. We've got wonderful things that we're getting ready to do, Lord. We thank you for this moment in time, for just using us on today to do the work that you need for us to do, to inspire, to encourage, to uplift, to be a blessing, everything that's needed, Lord Jesus. And thank you for not giving up on us, Lord. Thank you for just being a God of a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, however many chances that we need, Lord. Thank you for never getting tired of our mistakes. And thank you for being there, Lord Jesus. Inspire us to give, Lord. And I thank you for every single seed that's coming in to this ministry. I speak 100-fold return. I speak 1,000-fold return. Lord, whatever it is that they need, Lord, multiply it. You said for us to be fruitful and to multiply, to be productive, Lord, to go forth and make, it's all about, we're going to talk about producing, doing the work. We've got a season, a series coming up with that, Lord Jesus. But I thank you right now for the seeds that are being planted in the name of Jesus, Lord. We love you and we thank you, Lord. As we dismiss, I want to thank you for a wonderful day. Cover us with your shield of protection. Bring us back next week, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and help us to just continue to know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us in the mighty, magnificent, beautiful, bountiful, wonderful name of who you are to us in our lives. You're our shepherd, and we shall not want. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic resurrection day. And we'll see you next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there. The word of God will be waiting for you. Have a fantastic day, folks.